Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation. Is there someone in your world who absolutely irritates you?
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Swimming, salmon, salmon, Swanson, Swanson?
Maybe it's on the briefcase. Look on the...
Oh, yeah! It's right here. I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Bingo.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, let me ask you a question. Is there someone in your world who absolutely irritates you? Well, maybe it's a boss, maybe it's a coworker, might be an in-law. Well, hey, it could be some of your children. And I think it's safe to say that your spouse can wind up on that list as well. I know at least Kathy would put me on that list at times. Well, the reality is there are definitely people who are going to rub you the wrong way. But the good news is you don't have to let those irritating people ruin your day. On this edition of Homeward, we're going to talk about some practical solutions to deal with men, women, and children who can really get under your skin. Author Mary Sutherland refers to them as sandpaper people, and I like those terms. And today we'll talk about dealing with the sandpaper people in your life, and that's next on Homeward. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference makers since 1899. I encourage you to check out apu.edu or the link on our Homeward website today, especially if you're in a situation like I found myself in not too long ago, wanting to go back to school and finish off my undergraduate work. And the School for Adult and Professional Studies at APU is one that I highly recommend as well. Today here on the program, we're going to talk about those lessons that we don't like learning, but God uses them in our lives anyway. Is there somebody in your life that rubs you the wrong way? For whatever reason, either for better or for worse, author Mary Sutherland refers to people like this as sandpaper people. And during the next half hour, we're going to talk about a book that she's written on this topic about dealing with sandpaper people. Now with part one of today's program, here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. It's going to be a great program today. Mary Sutherland is with us. We're talking about dealing with sandpaper people. You know, everybody has cantankerous people in their lives. They're always going to be with us. Therefore, we must learn how to get along with them. That's what we're going to do today. Mary, welcome to our program.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, nationally known inspirational speaker, author, lives in North Carolina with your husband, Dan, two children, and two new grandbabies.
Yes. A boy and a girl. They're beautiful and brilliant, of course.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course. More beautiful and brilliant usually than our children, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about that.
Now, today we're going to talk about sandpaper people. When I looked at your book, Sandpaper People, Dealing with the Ones Who Rub You the Wrong Way, I actually laughed because I went, I've never seen a better term for people who are kind of cantankerous, if you would. Now, sandpaper people, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, but I want you to describe this type of a person. I mean, who is that sandpaper person?
Okay. Let me first say, Jim, that it is not an abusive relationship. That's a whole nother world.
That's good.
This is just the person who's in your life on a daily or consistent basis. And either their personality clashes with you, or they just annoy you, or they irritate you. They're not you. And the problem is when we get together, we really want everybody to be us, you know, and it makes life a whole lot easier. And so they choose to sometimes push emotional buttons and just kind of try to push you to every limit, and they annoy you.
Yeah, and I just thought of, you know, several people in my mind all of a sudden in my own life, and I thought, you know, there's probably some people who are thinking about me as well.
Yeah.
Not you, Roger. I looked at you, but you're not a sandpaper person.
He doesn't
at least
look
for today.
One.
Well, how do you get along with these people then?
I think the first step that we have to take in dealing with sandpaper people is to realize we're not going to change them. Mm-hmm. So we have to change our response to them. We have to accept them just like they are. You know, tolerance says, I love you if, but acceptance says, I love you. And you just accept them right where they are. And the more I work with people, I think if we get behind their hurt, because many times that sandpaper is a mask or a Band-Aid covering a very deep wound. And if we get behind that and realize that hurt people really do hurt people, it gives us a better perspective of who they are. They need someone who's going to look beyond that sandpaper and see who their identity is in Christ, if they have a relationship with Christ. And somewhere along the way, somebody has assigned them an identity that's false. and they are just living their life trying to prove that false identity.
It's incredible. I mean, you're describing people that I know who are sandpaper people. They really are good people.
Yes.
But they have a poor self-image.
Exactly.
They probably don't mean to be. You know, I mean,
no.
I actually quote a secular movie, When Harry Met Sally,
mm-hmm.
but he was describing somebody. He said, well, she's high maintenance of the worst kind. She thinks she's low maintenance.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And don't you think some of these sandpaper
Absolutely.
People actually don't realize they're sandpaper people?
It is amazing when you go to them and talk to them or confront them. They're like, me? They have no idea how they come across or how they sound.
At the very beginning, you said it's not abusive relationships.
Right.
So what you're doing is you're saying, no, there's a difference between somebody who is actually abusive,
right.
emotionally abusive, physically abusive,
yes.
sexually abusive, than someone who just is pretty much rubbing you the wrong way.
Exactly. The abusive relationships require a whole different set of
yeah.
rules and
yeah.
and thoughts.
You know, at the same time, I'm thinking of, let's call it the mother-in-law, just because, you know, we always want to talk about the mother-in-law. Now, you're a mother-in-law. I hope that doesn't
happen. I'm a wonderful mother-in-law.
Exactly. And I think my wife is, too. But let's say there's the mother-in-law who just rubs everybody the wrong mm-hmm. way, and nobody really wants to spend time with her because
right.
she's like that. How, as a parent, how do you help your kids say, no, we're going to go to grandma, and yes, grandma is going to be a little cantankerous, mm-hmm. but we're going to honor mom or honor dad by, you know, loving their parent. I mean, how do you do that?
Well, I think you just nailed it. I mean, you honor their position as a grandparent. You honor a teacher because she or he is a teacher. Mm-hmm. You honor your boss because they're in that position of authority. And you can kind of switch the kids' thinking to say, you know, grandmother does these things because, you know, when she was a little girl, and give them just a general reason.
Yeah.
And say, you know, she's just hurting. She's hurting inside. And so she doesn't know what to do with that hurt. So it comes out in safe places. That means she really, really feels safe with you emotionally. She loves you. She knows you're going to love her no matter what. And sometimes it slips out. And that's all.
That's fascinating. One of the things you said at the beginning of your really excellent book, Sandpaper People, you talk about pride and how pride will sometimes ruin connecting with
yes.
a sandpaper person.
It really does.
And it's not the pride on the sandpaper person.
No.
It's the pride on ourselves.
Right.
Of course, notice that I said I wasn't a sandpaper person.
Rarely, I'm sure. C.S. Lewis called pride a spiritual cancer. And I think that's a great description of it. But pride is a sign, I believe, of our own insecurity and our own feelings of insecurity and inferiority. And the reality is that pride and insecurity are just the opposite sides of the same coin. They're both a preoccupation with ourselves. And so in order to deal with these sandpaper people, we have to set ourselves aside. Not what we want, not what we think they should do, or not who we think they should be, but we have to learn to accept them. And most of the times, that is against who we are. So we have to set ourselves aside, and that's pride.
No, and that isn't easy. And, you know, another word that you use is grace. We have to recognize the power of grace.
Absolutely.
But that's hard when somebody they say, well, that outfit doesn't look good, or, you know, they're always negative or always
mm-hmm.
complaining or always whining about stuff. But yet in reality, we're called to give them grace. But how do we give them grace? And yet at the same time, you know, I think we also have to treat them, letting them know that sometimes we get hurt by some of the
exactly.
things they say. How do you do that?
Well, I think confrontation comes in there.
Yeah.
Learning to confront that person in a healthy way is imperative in any relationship, but especially with a difficult
yeah.
one.
You know, I was thinking about a sandpaper person in our life, and the siblings wanted to talk to this person. I'm not in the sibling mode.
Mm.
And they said, well, Jim, you go talk because you'll confront with grace. And we don't want to confront this person because this person is going to get mad at us. So I was like, okay, Jim, you go do it. And it was interesting that you used in kind of the same paragraph, grace and confrontation.
Right.
Talk about that.
Well, you know, grace is just the acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense.
I love that.
It just always reminds me of what grace really is. And grace starts right here, you know, in our own lives. We can't lead where we haven't been. We can't forgive when we've not been forgiven. We can't love when we haven't experienced God's love. So it starts with that personal relationship. And when we start from love in confrontation, it's a whole nother critter. And if we enjoy the confrontation, we're probably doing it for the wrong reason. It's
right.
very hard,
it's
you know, and the motive and the behind confrontation is always love. And the aim is always restoration. It's never winning.
Don't you think a lot of relationships fail because they do want to try to win?
Yes. They will not lay down their weapons. They become the enemy, and they refuse to lay down their weapons and lay that position down of authority, or they think they have authority. And it just causes conflict. It's a fuel on a fire.
You know, you mentioned the spiritual nature of this, and in your book, you said we have to choose faithfulness, choose to forgive,
mm-hmm.
choose
yeah.
to sacrifice, choose to restore, choose to love the way God loves. I mean, those are wonderful things, but when somebody is bugging
yeah.
me like crazy. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do that.
It is. It's a deliberate choice. It's a choice of your mind and will. It is not an emotion. It is not a feeling. It's not a, even if you want to or don't want to do that. It's, you know, I've really learned my emotions are my, sometimes my enemy, and they're not trustworthy and they're unreliable. So sometimes I have to just mentally choose to see that person like God sees them. So Lord, let me see them through your eyes. Start praying for them. That gives you a whole new insight to them. But to see them that way really does help.
It does help. And it's so hard. Let's face it. If someone who rubs you the wrong way, it's hard to kind of walk a mile in their shoes. But Mary Sutherland's giving us a lot of food for thought today here on the Homeward Broadcast. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, broadcasting from the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. Our guest today is Mary Sutherland, and she's the author of the book Sandpaper People, How to Deal with People Who Rub You the Wrong Way. In many cases, those folks are, God is using them to kind of smooth out some of the rough edges in our own lives. It's a book we highly recommend, by the way. If you want more information on the book Sandpaper People by Mary Sutherland, visit our resource center online at homeward.com.
I have to admit that today's Homeward snapshot comes from my personal family album. See if you can relate. Years ago, when I was a church youth worker, one of my staff members confronted me. He said I was manipulating people. Well, I was really frustrated with him. In fact, in my mind, I immediately went straight to his faults and his problems. Well, the more I thought about it, the more I realized he was right. And today, I'm grateful he told me the truth, painful as it was to hear it. The reason I could hear it from him was that he told me the truth in love. And he showed me that he cared enough to confront me with what was really a flaw in my life. Well, that day, he gave me the gift of an honest friendship, and I've never forgotten it. How about you? If you're looking for a way to gauge whether or not the honesty factor in your friendships is where it should be, I want you to take my Truth in Relationships quiz. You can download a free copy from our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward, challenging you to be that adult in the life of your kids.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Mary Sutherland with us today. We're talking about dealing with sandpaper people. She's written a great book called Sandpaper People, Dealing with the Ones Who Rub You the Wrong Way. Mm-hmm. I bet you have a couple in your life. I know I do in mine. As I said earlier, you know, cantankerous people will always be with us. So we're just going to have to learn how to get along, and Mary's helping us do that in a great way. Mary, really good conversation today. Mary, as we think about these sandpaper people, one of the things that you say is a secret, really, is of kind of diffusing and disarming mm-hmm. them, is to be their cheerleader. What's hard is, I'm thinking about this, but sometimes I don't like the sandpaper person that want to be the cheerleader with. How do I do that in my own emotions?
Well, it's totally irrelevant whether you like them or not. It really is. And it is a deliberate choice to say, I'm going to find one thing in that person that I can bring out into the light and voice approval about. The greatest way I can explain this is our son, when he was in six years old in first grade, there was a little boy in his class who really tagged this sandpaper person for me because I love children. I couldn't stand this kid. He was obnoxious and he was really mean, but he showed up at school one Monday.
Was Roger in your class?
No.
No, it wasn't Roger. Okay, just checking.
No, he's way too young. He showed up at school one Monday morning with both arms in a cast from wrist to shoulder, and his mom stood there with him and said, we'll call him Nick. If Nick doesn't have somebody who will take care of him, write his homework out, feed him lunch, take him to the restroom for about 6 weeks, give him a picture, carry his books, he can't come to school. And Jared said every head went down immediately, like, do not look at me. And he said minutes went by, and he looked up, and the mom had tears running down her face. So Jared looked up at the teacher, and he said, I'll do it. Now, the amazing thing is Jared's one of those kids that everybody gets along with. I mean, he's just easygoing. He loves everybody. It's hard to make him angry. But he chose to be this person for Nick. And when about 2 or 3 weeks into the process, Jared came home one day and he said, Mom, you know, Nick's not really that bad. I said, really? And he said, yeah, he's very, very smart in math and he loves soccer. I said, well, that's cool, son. About a week later, he came home. He said, you're not going to believe what happened today. And I said, what? And he said, well, we were choosing teams for soccer, and everybody wanted Nick. He can't play yet, but they all wanted him. And at the end of the 6 weeks, when the casts were off, I went to visit that classroom. And I had seen the transformation in Jared, and I had seen the transformation in the other children. But the transformation in Nick was unbelievable. All that kid needed was a cheerleader. And maybe that's all your sandpaper person needs, is somebody just to say, I see good things in you. Here's what they are, everybody. That's what I mean by cheering them on. They may not even recognize those symptoms.
Isn't it interesting? Because I really think that God cheers us on, doesn't love us for what we do, but for who we are, his children. Mm-hmm. And if we could only figure that out with that sandpaper person, it may change. What about the person, though, that you try and you try and try, and you know, it just doesn't get better? Do you keep spending time with them? Do you have some boundaries? I mean, how's this work?
I call those people emotional black holes. Because it doesn't matter how much time and energy and effort you pour into them, it's never going to make a difference. Because they don't want to make any difference in their lives. Their identity is that, and they want to stay there. It's too hard to change. It's too hard to come out of the darkness into the light. They want to stay there. So it's a thin line, Jim. I mean, you want to minister to people and love people, but at the same time, you can go down the tube with them. So when you have tried and tried and tried and it's making no difference, start investing your time in a relationship where it will make a difference. Accept that person, love them, and pray for them. But choose where you invest your time real wisely.
You know, I think that's wise. You know, one of the things that I talk about in parenting and in marriage is that we need to have people around us. Mm-hmm. And we will have what I call VDPs, very draining people. And those are these sandpaper people.
Exactly.
But we need VIPs, very inspiring people to be around us too. Mm-hmm. Because if we're only spending time with sandpaper people, it's going to absolutely bring us down.
It will.
So what I hear you saying is not just that, you know, deal with the sandpaper person, but also bring some others around you who can lift you up.
I mean, one of the reasons I was in a clinical depression for 2 years in 95 was because I did not know how to do this. I wanted to be everybody's savior, and I make a really lousy savior, let me tell you. I wanted to fix everybody, you know, and so I would pour energy and life into them, and in doing so, I gave so much of myself away, I nearly died. I didn't have anything left to give, and I was in emotional bankruptcy because too many withdrawals, not enough deposits.
Right. So being in emotional bankruptcy, as you said, only getting withdrawals, what kind of decisions did you have to make to get through your depression, that season of depression, those 2 years?
That was a long 2 years. I wrote the book, Hope in the Midst of Depression is my story. I'd never been any place like that. And God gave me Psalm 41, 2, and 3. It was a pit. And I had to make the decision to accept that darkness, to work through it, to go back and deal with the past, things I'd never dealt with. And you hit on a really important part, to see myself as God sees me, that no matter what I do or don't do, it doesn't affect his love for me. And I think the biggest thing that I got out of that experience was that nobody can take my place in his heart. And I don't have to do anything. I am just his. He loves me not because I'm so lovable. He loves me because he is love, and he can't help it.
That is great. Now, let's talk about patience.
I don't want to talk about that.
The P word, patience, is very important with sandpaper people.
It
and
really
you talk
is.
About the fact that it's going to require some patience.
Mm-hmm.
How do you develop patience? You know, it's the old saying that says, you know, I want patience and I want it right now.
Oh, that's my statement.
But how do you develop this in the midst of trying to work through someone who's, you know, not working the program with you?
I think that's exactly why they're there. I think God allows those kinds of relationships to come into our lives to teach us to be patient. And the funny thing is that when we get rid of one, we think, there's another one coming.
Right.
You know, there's always going to be somebody in our life that constantly rubs off the rough edges and constantly pushes us and constantly makes us put our faith where our life is, you know. And I think we develop patience by going through those tough times and going through those tough relationships. And sometimes we fail and we go, I could have done this differently. I could have confronted them and that might have avoided the situation. I could have forgiven them. I could have, become their cheerleader. I could have done something to make it different. And I think we grow through those kinds of relationships.
Yeah, that's a great way of looking at it. And I think sometimes we go two steps forward and a step back or three steps
absolutely.
Forward thinking about it, but it really is a good way of looking at it. You also say that forgiveness is a key to dealing with these
huge.
People.
Forgiveness is a huge part of this. And I used in the book Matthew 18, the parable of the king and the servant. It's a powerful, powerful story. Clara Barton, you know, was with Salvation Army, and I can sum it up all like this. You know, people will say to me, how can you forgive that person after what they did to you? Well, one of Clara Barton's best friends came to her and was reliving something that had happened to her in the past. She'd been really hurt by a friend. And she could tell by looking at Clara Barton's face that she actually didn't remember it. So finally, the friend stopped and said, do you not remember what she did to you? And Clara Barton responded, no, I distinctly remember forgetting it. That's forgiveness. It's choosing to forget it. Every time it comes, you send it away. and to cancel, to send away. And you take the initiative. People, I shouldn't have to because they hurt me. I should wait for them to come to me. Well, it's really hard to get past that Matthew verse that says, if you have any know of anybody who has anything against you, leave your gift at the altar and go get it right. That's real clear, you know. And this king took the initiative with this servant. He didn't have to, but he did. And Jesus took the initiative with us. I'm so glad. Because if he'd waited on me, I never would have done that.
That's a great comment. Mm,
it certainly is, and it brings us to the conclusion of part one of what will now be a two-part conversation here on the Homeward Broadcast. Parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns talking with author and speaker Mary Sutherland about dealing with sandpaper people. You know, Jim, there are some issues that rub parents the wrong way. One of them is how sexuality is just overtaking modern culture, and yet we're trying to give our kids a standard, you know, help them understand what God's plan for sex and sexuality is. You've written a whole new series of books on this topic. Beginning with a book on teaching your children healthy sexuality. Talk about that.
You know, the best and most accurate studies indicate that no more than 15% of Christian kids receive any kind of good, positive, value-centered sex education.
That is amazing.
Isn't it? It really is incredible. And what's important about that is we know that when parents give their kids positive, value-centered sex education, they will be less promiscuous.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't
right.
make everything go away.
Yeah.
But that's a very important comment. And so I am passionate about what we call pure foundations. And I'm passionate about putting out materials that will help parents talk to their kids about healthy sexuality. The book, as you mentioned, is called Teaching Your Children Healthy Sexuality. I sometimes do not feel like I'm the absolute expert on it. But you know what? For this, the subtitle of the book is called A Biblical Approach to Prepare Them for Life. And I think how kids relate to the opposite sex is a major way in terms of even how their faith will end up doing. You know, it's a healthy book. It probably will surprise some parents because they'll think I'm too liberal, and some other parents will think I'm way too conservative because right. I believe in sexual abstinence. The new book, as I said, is a part of this Pure Foundation series, and that is designed to help parents teach their children the biblical model for sex and sexuality. Just last month, we were talking about the Purity Code. Now, both these books came out at the same time. The Purity Code is a book for kids. Obviously, this particular book is helping parents teach their children, again, about healthy sexuality. So it's an exciting time for me. It's my hope that parents will be able to teach their kids sexual purity and sexual integrity. And we want a million kids to share this purity code.
Well, thousands of kids, tens of thousands actually, are putting us already on the way to that goal. And the Pure Foundation series is so robust, as they say, in the industry, starting with the book you were just mentioning, Jim, Teaching Your Children Healthy Sexuality, all the way through the Purity Code and Accept Nothing Less. For ordering information, as a parent, if you'd like to order one or all of the books in this Pure Foundation series, they're all available at homeward.com. And when you order from homeward.com, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. So check out Jim Burns's Pure Foundation series at homeward.com. Now, if you're listening to us on the radio today, it is Friday, and today's Culture Brief Day. And Jim, this is such a vital resource for so many parents and pastors and youth workers and maybe even some kids like reading it too. Talk more about this resource we put out every Friday.
Well, it's actually a free resource. You know, every Friday it comes out and thousands of people read it. And actually, hundreds of them tell me thank you. It's amazing. We have almost this cult following of people who love our Culture Brief. How it started was a guy named Jim Liebelt, who's on our staff and a right. wonderful, incredibly talented researcher, started sending me. It was called the President's Culture Brief or the President's Update. It would help me. And then I'd be doing a radio show and I could, you know, come up with whatever the latest, greatest stuff was that actually he was giving me. And then we said, why are we hiding this? So we deal every week with three issues, and only three issues. So it only takes about 3 minutes to read or less. But it's whatever is hot in the culture. And so it might be the latest on drug and alcohol addiction. It might be the latest on sexual promiscuity. It might be the latest on what kids are doing with driving, you know, how they relate to their parents, just loads and loads of good stuff. It's absolutely free. People can sign up and get it. On the other side, it also says where the big searches are, you know, what were kids searching that week. And so as parents, I always say, listen to what they listen to. Read what they read, watch what they watch. Culture Brief is worth it.
Well, we also have to add to that now, search what they search, I suppose.
Exactly.
That's the 21st century edition
Ooh,
of that.
I like that.
Okay. Well, search what they search then has to go in the mix too as well. But the Culture Brief is available without cost. I want to make that very, very clear. You can start receiving the Culture Brief today, as a matter of fact, if you go online to homeward.com, if you're not there already, and just follow the prompts for getting that subscription going. I mentioned Jim's Pure Foundations book series earlier. That is not free. There is a purchase price involved in that, but the beauty of that resource is if you do order it from homeward.com, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, and we are fully listener-supported, 501c3. It's tax-deductible to you. It's beneficial to us. So get information about the Purity Code and all the Pure Foundation series at homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.